But you know what? The thing about it is God looks at the end product. He because he's the one working this thing out.
That's
he's
right.
the one doing the building. And see, he sees a little bit of mistakes, but he looks past that, and he sees what we're going to be once we get past this trial. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 9. I want to speak to you on a little thought this morning on examine yourself by the faith. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 9. Just say amen when you got it.
Amen.
Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. And I kind of got to say it this way. I want to see you serve the Lord with all of your hearts and live a fruitful life. Not that Brother Tony or myself or any other minister can say, look what I've done. But from the depths of your heart, you're serving God with an honest heart. And whether I fall today or tomorrow or Brother Tony falls today, you continue to serve the Lord with everything that's in you. Amen? Amen. Because it's a love for God. Because see, what happens a lot of times, people have their eyes on a minister, and then when the minister falls, they fall right with it. But see, you got to put your eyes on Christ, because Christ is steadfast. He's going to go because he don't fail. And that'll fail you every time.
Right.
And saints of God, let's never put our eyes on any man, but on the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the... read this again. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we want to thank you for your blessings upon our life, Lord. And Father, I ask you to help me to say things exactly the way you laid it on my heart, Lord. Lord, not trying to lift myself or anybody but you, Father. Because, Lord, only you are worthy of praise
yes.
and glory. We love you this morning, and we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. I just want to read one short quote, if that'll be all right. And that's in Hebrews chapter 5. And I'm going to read it. It says, now we notice that Paul, being a Bible teacher to begin with, that's what we learned, that he said under the great teacher, one of the greatest of his day is Gamaliel. And he was well versed in the Old Testament. He knew it well, but become a persecutor of the way that was Christ's way, because he had been trained in the Old Testament under teachers. But the teachers, usually carnal, I hope I don't say anything wrong, but usually if a man just the teaching and the way of schools, it's usually man-made. See, it isn't inspired because it's become a doctrine of a school. We have it today. Presbyterian, Lutheran, Pentecostal, all these schools have their theory, and they just wind the scriptures into this.
That's right.
And it was the same in the Old Testament, but Paul, being well-trained and knew the scriptures by the Word, but you see, the scriptures, no matter how well you know them, if the Spirit doesn't quicken them, then the letter killeth.
That's right.
The Spirit giveth life. See, it must be quickened or made alive by the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't liven the Word and make it a reality to you, then the letter is just intellectual. That's where we have so many confessed Christians today. And professed Christians, it's an intellectual conception of Christ. And I don't really want to go into the rest of that. We're talking about how the denominations thinks they have a teaching that they teach people, and without a doubt they do it sincerely. But because it's just a teaching, and it's not inspired, they got a bunch of knowledge, but there's no life inside of it. Amen? And see, that's what I want to say. Let's examine our experience by the faith of God. And we see what the faith says. We see the ministry in Brother Branham. We believe to be a prophet. We see the ministry in these things. We've even seen them in certain brothers and sisters around the world. But I want to ask you, saints of God, do you see it in your life? Because see, saints of God, it doesn't matter how much they have God, it's wonderful for them. But see, when it comes rapture morning, they're going in the rapture. But see, if you don't have that experience, you're not going. Amen. See, we got to have that same experience. That's what I say. Let's examine ourselves and what we have, and let's see if we have what the message says that we should have. Because as my brother Hart has said many times to me in our conversations, he says, Brother Daniel, many are saying we have the faith when rapture comes, we're just going to be changed. He said, but you know what, Brother Daniel? One of these mornings, we're going to have to make sure we've got it. Right. One of these days, it's not going to be just the talk. It's going to be the walk. Amen? I want you to think about the soldiers when they go into the boot camps and things and they're being prepared to go to battle and they're saying, oh, Johnny, whenever I get ready, I'm going to take this gun and I'm going to kill them one by one. And Johnny, I'm going to win this war. I'm going to be an all-American warrior. I'm going to do all these things. Johnny, I'm going to do it. This is during boot camp, saints of God. He's got a zeal and all this energy. He said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a great warrior. Look at me, I'm going to do this. And he's doing it. But see, when it comes to battle time, saints of God, you've got to be able to back what you're talking up. Amen? Right. There's come the time when you can say all you want to. You can walk out there and the enemies are coming towards you with their guns. He can say, I'm going to tear you guys to pieces. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. You know what those other guys are going to do? Hey. They ain't going to talk to you about it. They ain't going to argue about it. They're just simply going to shoot you. Amen? And see, that's the way the devil is. We can talk the talk all we want to. We can say, when I come up with this problem in my life, I'm going to speak the word. It's going to happen. And then we get all puffed up. We say it. But then when the thing actually happens,
that's right.
We can't just talk about it then, saints of God. We got to have what we're talking about. And we're talking about one of the greatest enemies that's going to be conquered that we'll ever have. And that's rapture morning. Whenever we can be quickened from this body. Amen. We can talk about being healed, but then when the smallest healing that needs to take place, it's like we stumble at it. Not talking about myself as well, saints of God. But we're talking about needing the body changed. Not just a toothache, a body that's being changed from this body to another. Are you with me this morning?
Amen. Amen.
You know, when you go to, I really like this, when you go to the military, the thing that they really pound on is repetition. Repetition. And I'm doing algebra right now, and I tell you what, it's thank you, Lord. When you're doing this algebra, you've got a formula. And when you do these formulas just right, saints of God, you're going to get the right answer. Is that right? Anybody know algebra? When you do the formulas right, you're going to get the right answer. So if there's anybody in here doing math, if you do 1 plus 1, what are you going to get?
2.
Oh, we got some mathematicians in here. You know what? That sounds like a real small problem. And you look at the teachers writing on the board and saying, okay, class, we're going to do 1 plus 1. And you're sitting back there like, come on, I'm way past this. Come on, give me some big numbers. But you know why they give you the small numbers? If you can do the small ones, you can do the big ones. See, but all you've got to do is get in the right formula, and you do that same formula every time, you're going to get the right answer every time. Is that right? So I want you to remember that when you're doing math, it works. It absolutely works. You do the same formula. When you're doing military, the drill sergeant will be following. He says, okay, guys. And Johnny's over here. He said, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to kill. I'm ready to destroy the enemy. And he said, okay, line up. He's like, all right, I'm ready to destroy the enemy. I'm ready to tear him to pieces. He says, all right, left, 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 right, left. And Johnny's back there like, oh, come on. Give me the gun. I want the gun. I want to kill. I want to shoot. I want to do these things. But see, you've got to start with the formula. You got to start small, and then when you do the formula right, you're going to be able to do the big things right. And see, you can start left, 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 right, left. Probably not on key, but you get the point. See, when you can start small, you can start with 2 men and be on time. And you can do 50 men, 100 men, 200 men, 500 men. You're going to be at the exact same time. Is that right? God will work the same way, saints of God. He'll begin to deal with your heart and saying left, 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 right, left. He'll talk to some man over in Honduras, another man in Canada, another man in Arkansas, another man in Oklahoma. He'll begin to deal with your heart on the simplicity of the gospel of believe my word. Simply believe the word. Because I'm telling you what, if you can believe the word for the small things, it will work for the big things, saints of God. And he works all the way around the world, working with the bride of Jesus Christ, to the elect of God that has an ear to hear the word. I'm telling you what, if you have something on the inside that believes the word, you're a blessed person. You're a blessed people, saints of God. And you've got to be able to take that, and whenever God gives you a promise from a word, and you can conquer something, testify about it, saints of God. Talk about what God has done in your life as He inhabits the praise of His people. I'm going to ask you to examine yourself by the faith that we're saying that we believe. I can remember when I first come to this message, and I was reading the message by the name of Prophet Visit South Africa. And I can remember as I was reading these prayer lines and seeing God heal people and restore their limbs of their bodies, and people missing arms and their arms be restored, their legs missing, and God restore their legs. I can remember seeing those things, saints of God, and I was saying, God, if you could do that in the physical body, what could you do to my heart? Because I know in my heart I desire the things of the world still. I desire these things. And I'm telling you, saints of God, I felt something burning in my heart. I knelt right at my bed right there and I said, God, the same God that restored those limbs, the same God that restored the legs and all these things, God, changed my heart. Changed my desires on the inside of me, saints of God. That's the greatest healing you'll ever have.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Absolutely the greatest. And if you've ever experienced, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If you have an experience, I'm telling you, saints of God, you need it. There's nothing more wonderful. One of the last meetings, this has been on my heart so strong. One of the last meetings, I was in Honduras. We had a tent meeting. And I was so nervous, I didn't even... We were at a minister's meeting. And several ministers were there, and there were a lot of seasoned ministers. And I think to myself, well, good, I get to listen and learn something. The music is finally starting, and Brother Miller walks up to me and says, "Oh, Brother Daniel, I forgot to tell you, you're speaking, brother." I said, "Really? Well, thanks for telling me." So I just break away, saints of God, and I find a little hut here, and just dirt on the floor, and I didn't care. I just needed a place away from everybody. I got on my knees, and I began to seek God. I said, "God, I need your help. These are ministers out here that I'm not qualified to be here, about the way I feel this morning in front of Brother Tony, here we got a fine minister." And I'm telling you, I'm beginning to seek God and say, "God, there's people that need healing here. I've seen people with sicknesses that were dying, that were coming." And I said, "God, I need your help." And I was so over, what's the word? Too excited. I finally get up there. It's about time and the storm is coming, and we're on top of this mountain. Wind's blowing so hard, the tent's literally going like this. The posts are falling, the wind's blowing, the rain's coming down. I'm thinking, "Oh God, why can't it be a sunshine?" You know, seems like whenever trials come, it comes by the ton, not the pound. And
that's right.
I got to the top of this hill, and it was about time for service. And remember, I walked up there, and I was just nervous as about like I am now, and my hands were about shaking. I had my Bible, and Brother Mills said, "How you doing?" I said, "Doing fine, brother. Running for service." He just put his arm around me. He said, "Brother Daniel, just relax." He said, "The same God that was with you before is the same God with you now."
That's right.
I said, "Brother, thank you. I sure appreciate it." And I tell you what, I've used that advice ever since. I'm going to tell you something, saints of God. We got in there, and the presence of the Lord come down. And I felt like I was sitting over here in the chair and just watching and just seeing God moving. We had a prayer line come through. And I just want to stop here for just a moment and just share a little testimony that a few years ago I used to buy these little MP3 players for $20, and I'd give them to Brother and Sister Miller and send them to Honduras. And I did it every year. Every time they'd go, I didn't even have the money sometimes. I'd take the lunch money and put it inside of it. And with a few times, we wanted to give something to them. And you know what? We never saw any fruits from that or anything that we knew of. But I knew it was something in my heart was pulling at me to give. I'm telling you what, that's the greatest thing you could ever do is live for somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, and several years had gone by, and we're in this service now, and the film of the Lord coming, we have the prayer line coming through, and there were people coming with cancers, and women with babies turned sideways, and afraid their doctors afraid they're going to lose their babies, and because they're breached. And I'm telling you what, God come down, saints of God, and be able to pray for the saints, and we had phone calls coming and saying, "They're healed." People that we were praying for right here or right across town were being healed right then, saints of God. God coming down and meeting needs, saints of God. The Amen. Living God, He's the same God here this morning.
Amen.
The same God is here this morning.
Amen.
You know, we were praying saints of God and saying, God, help these people. And I had this old pastor, he'd come to me and he pulled me to the side and he said, several years ago, are you the brother Daniel from Fort Smith, Arkansas? I said, yeah, that's me. He said, brother, I've got one of those MP3 players you sent. He said, and from that, he said, we've started a little church. I said, praise God, saints of God. You know what? Whenever sometimes you feel like I'm trying to give, but I ain't gaining nothing. You're gaining something if you're doing it for God.
That's right.
You are gaining something if you're doing it for God.
That's right.
I'm telling you what, let's live for others. Let's live for one another and say, God, help me be a blessing to somebody else. Because you know what? When you go to someone else's house and you make them see how great you are, when you leave, what have you profited? But see, when you can go to their house and they feel, you know what? I feel like a son of God. I feel like a daughter of God. Saints of God, then we're gaining something.
Amen.
Living for somebody. I'm telling you what, I see God's people putting up with things that we don't have to put up with. The same God that brought healing to those people can bring you a spiritual healing. The thing that you've been fighting your whole life, He can conquer it just like that, saints of God, if we'll just approach it in the right way. Let me give you a testimony of something I've seen God do in my life. I fought something my whole life and struggled. Have you ever noticed when your greatest battle is at in front of you? In your mind, devil make you think you ain't got it because you think about certain things then you come across your mind. Anger at somebody or something. You know how it is. You fight the same devil as I do. You put those battles inside your mind and he'll make you feel so low that you don't even feel like you're worthy to talk about God. You don't even feel worthy to pray about somebody. That's the way the devil fights you. And I thought something about that for a long time, thanks to God. And there was a brother that got up and preached one service. And he began to preach about those things, about how you don't have to put up with those things. You know what? Because you know you don't want to dwell on those things. The thoughts come across your mind. You don't want to think about that. And you say, God, why would I even think that? Why would I even come to my mind? And it just bombarded my mind over and over. And I'll tell you who it was, your brother Tony. He preached a service, saints of God, and he spoke exactly down the line. And I said, you know what? I ain't putting up with this no more. Right here, I'm driving down my state. And I walked right up front, and I went to my brother Tony. I said, brother, I said, I've been fighting something. I said, I don't want to deal with it. I said, I want total deliverance. Saints of God, God's my testimony. That very day, God delivered me from that. And that filthy devil has been back since.
Amen.
He's tried to not, but resist the devil steadfast and he will flee from it. I'm here to tell you, if you're fighting something in your mind and it seems like it's battling you over and over, and you try to do it yourself, confess your faults one to another,
mm-hmm.
You'll be healed. I'm telling you what, saints of God, it's 1 + 1 and it works.
That's right.
It absolutely works. You're fighting something in your mind, whether it be gossip, whether it be this, whether it be that. I don't care what it is. You confess that to your brother and sister, and you have confidence in it. I wouldn't tell it to the biggest gossiper in town.
That's right.
I mean, I know it sounds funny, but that's absolutely true, saints of God.
That's right.
Because if you tell it to somebody that does that, everybody in the whole world will know about it. If you talk to somebody that's Holy Ghost filled, someone that's got to walk in the Lord, you talk to them and say, you know what, brother and sister, I'm fighting this, and be honest about it. So you know what, I'm fighting this battle, I don't want to put up with it no more. I'm telling you what, they'll be more than glad to pray with you. I'm going to ask you, who'd be willing to do that? Amen. I'm telling you, what way the devil does, he wants to take you by yourself and make you feel like you're the only one.
That's right, absolutely.
You are the only one that thinks about this. You feel free thing. He'll talk to you and call 911 and call the cops. He'll say, well, hey, so Brian, you ought to rob the bank. You can pay good tithes. You can put shoes on the mission field. You can do all... Look at all these great things you can do, Brian. He'll talk about all these great things. I mean, it sounds good. And then he says, you know what? No, I ain't going to do it. Think about the missions field. Think about what you can do. I ain't going to do it. Then just keep talking to you and keep talking to you. And finally says, you know what? You're right. You begin to reason in your mind. You know what? I think I will do this. And he'll go rob the bank and he'll say, you filthy hypocrite. He'll call the cops. He said, you think you're going to put shoes on the missions field with stolen money.
Right.
I tell you what. That's what the devil did. It's exactly right. He'll talk you into doing something, and then after you do it, he'll criticize you, ridicule you, make you feel like you're absolutely nothing. And he's the one that did it in the first place.
That's right.
You know what? The greatest battle you ever fight, saints of God, is right here in your mind. The devil will bombard your mind with things I'm telling you what, if we could just get all that garbage out of the way, God can open us so much more. Scripture says, let this same mind be in you as in Christ Jesus. You understand what that means to let it? If I have something and I'm going to drop it, if I'm going to let it drop, what do I got to do? Let it go. Because when I let it go, it's automatically going to happen. All you have to do is get the restrictions out of the way, it's automatically going to fall. And that's the same way it is with God. God wants to come into your presence. He wants to come into your life. But you have to let it. You have to get the restrictions out of the way. We saw when Sister Mary Hart transported flowers. Oh my goodness. That sister's got a green thumb. And by the looks of all them flowers, I thought she had about 15 of them. 3 trailers load of flowers, and we're moving all these flowers over here and organizing. And she had this water hose that was trying to water and had a big old kingpin. And you know, we had the water turned on, and we had the hose stretched out there, and we're trying to water the flowers, but it's just nothing coming out. I mean, just little sputters inside that. And you know what? I know that the sources are here in order for me to water this plant. Everything I've got is here. I've got the water. I've got the house with the water's tied to. I've got the water hose. And I've even got something to do with the water. Same way we are. We've got God. We've got the gospel. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got something to put the Holy Ghost in. But sometimes you get little trickles in here. There's nothing coming out. And I was leaving this and I was trying to investigate the problem. And I realized the water's on. Yeah, God's here. The plant's here. Yeah, I'm here. But I ain't got no water coming out. And I began to look at the line coming through. And I noticed there was a big old kink in that line. And my wife was holding the water hose, pointing towards Sister Mary. I'm walking over here and I go, here's the problem. Sorry. But you know what? The greatest mystery to cause this water to come out is to get the kink out. Now that's deep, baby. Mm-hmm. Get the kink out of the water hose and the water comes out. You know what? Do you want God in your life?
Amen.
You want God working through your life?
Amen.
It's real simple, saints of God. It ain't real complicated. It ain't real deep. It's 1 + 1. Get the kinks out of your life.
Amen.
You know what? I've been real busy with school. I get up, I do my schoolwork, I try to do my business and try to get it going. And you know what? I find I'm doing so much that I find out I'm pushing prayer life further and further away. And I'm saying, God, I want to get these things done. I got to get this test done. I got to get this done. And I was driving down the road going to school one morning. God began to speak to my heart. He said, you know what? You're trying so hard to get your schoolwork. He said, if you would just stay in my presence just a little while, He said, you'll conquer those things. God wants to conquer even schoolwork. Saints of God.
That's right.
That's exactly right. You know, when you go out early in the morning and you've got dew on the ground and you walk out just real early and you just smell and it's fresh air. Clean. What is it? It's because the presence of the dew comes down, saints of God, it just does a thorough cleaning. It just cleans the ground, it cleans the air, it cleans all these things. It feels so good to come out early in the morning. And you know what? That's the way it is with God, saints of God. If we'll just get still for just a little while. If we'll get up early in the morning, you know, spend some time with the Lord, just sit still and say, God, clean me. That's something that will work out more kinks than anything, saints of God, if we'll just get in the presence of the Lord. Just get in His presence and just say, Lord, help me. Clean me. Because you know what? We have the things. We've got God. We've got the gospel. We've got the temple full of Holy Ghost. We've got everything we need. But you know what? We have to get the kinks out. Because once we get those kinks out, I'm telling you, God will come on the scene. He'll meet needs. I just want to give you a little testimony of an absolute miracle that took place last week. Everybody remembers my mother-in-law had heart attacks here just recently. Had one heart attack after another. And it was a really bad deal. And the doctor she'd been going to, they said they're afraid she's going to have another heart attack. Said her heart's in really bad condition by doing the test and everything. And we're going through a lot of trials at that time and a few weeks ago. And we really felt in our heart to go see her. And we went by there, saints of God. And my mother-in-law walked out and her face was just dark. She just looked so sick. And we walked in and I loved her so much. You know, that's the best way to be able to pray for somebody is to feel what they're feeling. You know, you got to be able to get on the ground and have compassion for that person. And we went to her house, and I seen how emotional, just disturbed she was, stressed out, just not feeling well, and my heart just went out for her. And I remember we talked to her for a little while, and talked to her about the Lord, and you know, you love somebody so much, you wish you could just take the gospel and say, open up, just pour it inside there. You know, you wish you could do it that simple, but you know what? God is a gentleman. He's a gentleman, and He'll only come where He's welcome, but He will come where He's welcome. And we sat there and we talked to her about the Lord and told her, you know, that God really cares about what you're going through. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. God cares about what you're going through. And she was going to have to go to the doctor again because they're afraid she's going to have another heart attack. And we went out to the van and she followed us out there. And I said, why don't we pray for you right now? And we're going to pray that God will touch your body and He can make everything all right. I said, I'm telling you, God wants to help. Remember that? We sat there right there at my van, saying, "Said girl, my wife's van." And she walked right out there to the door there. And I'm telling you, I took her hands and we prayed for her right there. And we said, "Lord, I ask you to make her whole." Right here, we're going to ask you to pray and to take her heart and do what you got to do, God. We commit it to your hands. And saints of God, she went to the doctor last week, and the doctor preparing what he needs to do to keep her from having a heart attack. Saints of God, does test after test, he said, there's absolutely no sign of a heart attack.
Amen.
He said, your heart doesn't even have scars. He said, you have a brand new heart.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
He said, I can see the paperwork. This is the same doctor. I can see the paperwork saying you had a heart attack. You had four heart attacks, and throughout the night, you had some small ones. He said, according to the paperwork, your heart should be in bad shape. He said, you have a new heart. Saints of God, I'm telling you, the same God that can heal that physical heart can heal the natural, the spiritual heart. Amen?
That's right.
He can change the very desire, saints of God, where, you know, the scars of sin inside your heart, God won't even look at it no more. It's gone. It's taken care of, saints of God. If we'll commit it to God. You know what? When David began to fight Goliath, he didn't go by his own abilities. Could you imagine this little rinky-dink little fellow with little biceps? Like I assume he did. I've never seen him, but I would imagine from the stories. Little bitty biceps, little bitty small guy, going to fight this big old guy. He didn't go out there with his physical body. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He went with the right attitude, saints of God, of realizing in myself, I can't do this. In myself, I can't do it, but I know by the Spirit of God, I can conquer this thing. And I'm telling you, saints of God, whatever battle you're fighting in your mind, God can conquer it for you. He can destroy the enemy for you. He wants to destroy him for you, but you have to allow him to. You know, you might ask the question, if God is so strong, and God's able to do these things, why don't He just do it without us having to ask? You know, when I watch my kids, if I see a pit bull coming out, myself, I'll probably shoot it if I see it coming close to him. I just don't like pit bulls. If you do, I don't mean to. I hope it ain't your dog. You come visit, don't bring your dog. But you know what? Myself, I'm going to look at that. I ain't going to give him the chance to do it.
That's right.
But you know what? God's a little different. I say, He'll open the gate for it. There you go. Why does He do that? Because He wants you to conquer that thing through Him. He wants you to be able to. He wants that dog to come on you and you say, Lord, help me. Because when you call on the Lord, He comes down and He'll change things. But you know what? Sometimes we've got to cry out to Him. We've got to say, God, help me. But if you're like me, a lot of times you'll carry it and you'll see, you know you need God and you're like, no. And you'll wait and you'll back up and you'll back up until you're way in the corner. And you say, Lord, help me. And God will come on the scene. If I'd have done that to begin with, He'd probably done it a long time ago. You ever notice that? You'll have something come up in your life, and rather than just crying out to God, the first thing, you'll try to do it yourself. And you'll try everything you can to make this happen. Whereas if you just call out to God the first time, He'd fix it all together. I want you to examine yourselves. In the walk that you have on your daily walk,
Do you have a living God in your midst? Do you have God working in your life?
And you say, Brother Daniel, do you?
Saints of God, every day we have to die to ourselves and say, God, help me. My daughter was at the mirror a couple weeks ago. It was on Sunday morning. And my wife and her were in there fixing her hair. And I walked in there and I got a little bit of an armory streak inside of me. You've probably never seen it. I'm trying to keep it hid. But they were in the bathroom looking in the mirror and they're fixing her hair. And I just walked in there and I said, Hannah, you look just like your daddy. And she said this armory look on her face like, no, I do not look like boys. I said, but Hannah, what is it that defines you? What is it that makes you who you are? I said, Daddy, you're so silly. Mm-hmm. I began to think about that. What is it that defines you? What is it that makes you who you are? You know what? She could look at herself and she said, well, I have failures here. I have this. I must be a failure. She could look at that. And Satan would point that out to her. But see, she could look deep within herself and say, what is it that makes me who I am? And you know what? You can, and I just want you to imagine this. And you've got a plant outside, and it'd rather be a tree with pretty flowers on it. You've got wind blowing, and that tree is just going this way, and it's going that way, and it's going this way. And you could look at that tree, a snapshot in just like that. And it could look like a hopeless tree. But if you watch the whole story, you'll see that thing go right back to where it was. Amen. And that wind will blow again, and you're going back over this way, and you can do a snapshot of that, and that tree is way over here. And you can look at that snapshot, at that one still image, and you can say, failure. But you turn the reel back on, you see that thing blowing again, and then when the storm stops, it's right where it's at. I'm telling you what, that's the way we are, saints of God. You've got a seed of God inside you. You'll have trials come and you'll be blown this direction. You'll be going that direction. You'll be going this. You're going every which way. But when the wind stops, where are you standing? When this wind stops, are you still on the Word of God? Because you know, during those wind blowing, you get loose leaves that come off. You get all these things off. And guess what happens? New leaves come. Mm-hmm. And you know what? In our trials of this life, you'll be going every which way. But when it stops, God is going to make you who you need to be. Those roots just go deeper into the ground. Amen? You boys with me? You've got to look at things the way God looks at you. Because if we look at our still image, I'm the biggest failure you'll ever meet. Now, I know you ain't going to believe this, but if you look at my brother Tony, if you look for failures in this brother, you're going to find them. You look for failures in this brother, you're going to find them. It's exactly right. If you look for failures in one another, you're going to find it. But if you look for God and them, and you pull to that, I'm telling you what, you'll make them stronger, and you'll make yourself stronger. Yeah. I'm going to just go straight from my heart, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I'm speaking as your brother. A critical spirit, saints of God, can come through a church. It'll cause you to criticize and ridicule one another. You'll tear them down. You can keep doing that. And something I hate more than anything. And if you do this, please forgive me. I imagine you would never go to a football game, but if you did, stand along the sidelines and you see that guy and you got a big old pot belly sitting out there and he said, that guy can't even run. Look at him. I want to see that guy run. Or if you're in a boxing match and these boxers and maybe they're getting torn to pieces and he's sitting out there and arms about that big around and you can tell he ain't never seen a punching bag. And he'll stand there and he said, he can't even hit. I want to see you get inside the ring. And let's see you hit. And I guess they had a word for that. What is it, spectators, that we call that? They can tell you everything wrong, but they can't do anything themselves. And saints of God, let's never let that spirit come inside this church. To where it will cause you where you'll stand on the sideline and criticize everybody else for their shortcomings. But what in the world are you doing? I say that humbly. but I want to get the point across. If we will work together, saints of God, and stand in the position that God's called us to and be the best at it that we can be, I'm telling you what, we'll help everybody out. Amen?
Amen.
You still love me? Don't need to have my wife start to stand up. Just hold the door up, honey. You got there in a minute. Saints of God, that's our desire, is to see this church prosper. Amen?
Amen.
To see God working in our midst.
Amen.
Amen. That's every one of our desire. And you remember, we got an enemy. And he will come. And he will cause you to criticize. Cause you to find these fine faults. But let's never let it happen, saints of God. Amen?
Amen.
Do you agree with that?
Amen.
So I'm telling you what, if we'll go according to God's program, he will bless this church. Brother Brown talked about the time that when people will come inside the doors and sickness is being healed and people being saved and all these wonderful things. I'm telling you what, a lot of times we as mortals, we try to put that on the other side of the rapture. Have you ever noticed that? There's going to come a day when we're going to have such a love where we can put our arms around one another. There's going to come a day. There's going to come a day I'll have such a love. There's going to come a day. Well, when's that day going to come?
Right.
See, we're born naturally where you've got something inside you that's contrary to the Word. Automatically. Have you ever seen a little baby that's got diapers, that's barely able to walk? He's just toddling. I had my little nephew, little Jeremiah, and I call him Jerry. How does it sound better than Jeremiah? Mm-hmm. Little bitty boy. And he had a little diaper on. He was going through. And remember, we was going through Walmart, I think it was, and they got the little car speakers standing there right on the wall and just most pitiful music going on. But little Jerry, we let him down, and he stood next to the car, and you know what he began to do? Boogie woogie. All the way through. Who taught him how to do that? It was born with it.
That's
There's
right.
something inside of it.
That's right.
That's right. He just stand there just dancing away. Boogie woogie woogie. You know, all these guys do all these dances. They're doing some kind of great dance. That's talent. I don't mean to make fun of it. I used to do one of them. You know, a little kid, I can remember one time, little Malachi, and I usually put my family, this is a family effort, so we always try to let everybody pull their part. Remember when Malachi was real little, and I had my tea sitting there. And I don't really like the kids to drink after me, the same cup that I'm going to go back to, because sometimes they forget stuff with it. They don't take it with them when they go. And I had my tea sitting there on the counter, and he wanted a drink. I said, son, go in there and get you a drink. This is Daddy's tea. And I'm sitting here, and I turn around to do something. I looked over, he's got that thing. I said, did you just drink out of that tea? No. You liar? You did too? I just seen you do it. Why did he do that? There's something born inside of him that automatically lies. I did not have to teach him how to do that. He did it automatically. You got little bitty kids that are just the cutest little things that could be. But then, when you're real little and maybe you've got the truck and they want the truck, they'll bite you for it, they'll teach you for it, they'll do all these things. Why do they do that? It's something born inside of them. It's natural. Has anybody ever been guilty of these things? It's not just little guys, right? Every one of us. I could be a good buyer. So you're not the only one. But you know what? They're born with those characteristics automatically inside them, and they don't have to be taught that. And you know, in this natural birth, it's born through a sensation. Right? For the adults. It's born through a sensation. And when that birth is taking place from a sensation, there are characteristics that you automatically have. You're born with them. You automatically lie. You automatically cheat. You automatically bite. You automatically do all these things. And you're born with them. But there's a spiritual birth. And the way God created things in the first place is He spoke the Word. And He had faith in what He said. And it took place. And it was the right way. It was done right. And see, and whenever Mary had the birth spoken inside her, it wasn't through sensation. It spoke the Word, and it happened. the Word was born. And saints of God, that's the same way it is with us. It'll be by the spoken Word. And when the Word is spoken, you say, well, Brother Daniel, how is God going to speak the world to existence with the world's already existence? How is he going to speak it? Through a minister. When you hear the Word being preached, there's something on the inside of you that hears it. And it says, I believe it. Life begins to take place. And when that begins to take place, you have characteristics in you automatically that you didn't have to be taught. My brother Matthew, whenever he accepted the Lord into his life, he didn't necessarily have to have the ministry walking with him. Get up. Time to go to work. But then whenever he slipped and done something, he didn't have to have the ministry walking with him. Make that right. Now, the preaching, sometimes God will confront those things. God will address those things. But I'm talking about your daily life, saints of God. There's something on the inside of him automatically. When he does something wrong, he'll walk and he'll have such a condemnation or a conviction in his heart. Forgive me, I didn't mean to do that. And he'll make it right automatically. Is that right, brother? Not because he's got someone with a stick. He's like, you better do it, boy. I'm going to whoop your hind end. But it's a surrender inside of his heart. It automatically bears characteristics inside of him. He automatically does things. We're having a fellowship. Who was all at fellowship yesterday? Did you ever notice how that we were playing the bean toss and all the different fellowships? All of a sudden, you heard that music playing. How many of you felt the Spirit of God automatically start moving in the place? Automatically. You weren't taught that. It just happened. The same way that that child was born with something inside of him that automatically bought people. Whenever you got the Spirit inside you, saints of God, you hear that music playing, you automatically, something starts pulling. And Brother Tim, he caused me to lose a game. Oh, yeah. Because I was listening to the music. I can use that excuse for losing, right? But I was sitting here playing that bean toss, and I kept hearing that music playing. I was like, oh, I love that song. And then my brothers couldn't remember the points we were right there, right there. I was like, what point? I don't even know what point you are. And every one of us began to look over there. What was it? Because we were pulled to something. There was something on the inside of us. We didn't teach ourselves to do that. Something inside of us does it automatically. It's automatically being pulled to that Spirit of God. I'm thankful for that. I really am, saints of God. I am thankful for that. I'm not thankful for the body part. I'm thankful for the spiritual birth that automatically pulls you toward the presence of God. Amen. Because you know what? That same Spirit of God, whenever we're playing the bean toss, and that same Spirit of God began to pull in my heart to pull that, that's 1 + 1. Turn to the presence of the Lord. 1 + 1. When you begin to feel the presence of the Lord, go with it. Follow that tug. You begin to follow that Spirit. When you feel God begin to tug at your heart, follow that Spirit. I want you to listen to me because we need to be Spirit-led, saints of God. If you want to, I'm telling you what. Brother Graham talked about the firemen. You know that they're going to put out this fire. He says that one chief walked out and he said, okay, you spurt some water here. You spurt some water there. Okay, spurt some water here. He was pointing his finger and telling them what to do. But then he said there was a fireman in Louisville, he was. He come through and the truck wasn't even hardly stopped yet. He was climbing the ladder and he was on top of the deal. He said, come on, boys, let's get it. See, he was leading because he's had the experience. He's been in this. He knows what happens. And I'm here to tell you, I know what happens when God comes on the scene because I've seen it in my life. I know you can do it because you've seen it in your life, saints of God. So I'm not saying, I'm not trying to push you to serve, but I'm telling you, I've seen God do it. Amen. I hate more than anything is somebody that don't know nothing about trucks, don't know nothing about working on something, he'll tell you how to fix it. You're out there and you know what you're doing. You're trying to fix it, and this guy, you can tell he don't know nothing because you're working on the start, and he says, I'm telling you, if you want to fix that alternator, this is what you got to do. Well, number one, it's not an alternator, it's a starter. It's a completely different component on the vehicle. And what I'm trying to say is, I don't like to listen to someone that don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
But I'm telling you, saints of God, I've seen God move. I've seen God manifest himself. I've seen God work in his life, and it comes by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what, we get callous so easy. And this old flesh man, because what will happen is God will begin to deal with your heart to do something and you'll resist it. And you'll say, I won't do it this time. And at first it's a little hard to resist, but the second time it gets easier. And it gets easier. And before too long, it's so hard to follow the Spirit of God. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm telling you what is doing right in your living room, saints. If God, if we will learn, when God begins to deal with your heart, move that way. You begin to move that way. When God begins to deal with your heart, pray. And I don't care how, if you're going real busy, and I'm just going to give a testimony of how this works. You be real busy and God begin to deal with your heart to pray. Pray right there. God's given it for a reason. I was riding a forklift. I had a big truck I needed to load and I was really pressed for time. And I had to go get some glass to move to this truck. And I was going and I was driving. I'm only thing I'm thinking about, I've got to get this truck loaded as quick as I can because I'm pressed for time. And the Spirit of God began to deal with my heart, saints. So pray right now. And I just kept driving further, and he says, you've got to pray right now. And I pulled up here, and I stopped, and I prayed. I said, God, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. You ever notice that sometimes you feel a need to pray, but you don't even know what about? I had that burden in my heart. I said, I need to pray. And I said, God, I don't even know why I'm praying. But God, I ask you to help me, protect my family, protect my church, protect my young people. And I didn't know what to pray about. I said, the Spirit will make intercession for you.
That's right.
And I just began to pray and said, God, help me with this. And I said, amen. And I go up and I go pick up this pallet. And when I pick it up, somebody had mashed another pallet of glass in the back of that. So when I moved the pallet back with me, all that glass come down on top of my forehead. Everybody. And when it come down, saints of God, there was plastic that had fallen down. And that all that glass went about that far of my head, all the way around that truck. You could say, well, that would have happened anyway. I just wonder, saints of God, by praying that God can protect me. In my prayer, I said, God, protect me. Protect my family. Protect my church. And you know what? Because I was sensitive to the Lord, and I prayed, God was able to protect me. And I wasn't hurt. You know what? You said, but that's just for you, Brother Daniel. I'm speaking straight from my heart, saints of God. Be going down the road, and the Spirit of God will come down. I'm telling you what, it's absolutely amazing. God comes down. Because you've got the presence of God, brother, and then you've got the presence of God. We'll be going down the road, and the presence of God will come down so strong in the vehicle, and I said, we've got to pray right now. I said, I don't know why. We need to pray. And we'll pull over beside the road. Sometimes you'll be driving down the road, and God will deal with your heart to pray. Take the time to pray, saints of God. Because God wants to do something. We tell, we say, we know what, I don't know what it is, but we got to pray because God's fixing to do something. We begin to pray and say, God help us. We don't know what's fixing to happen, but something's fixing to take place. I can feel your spirit telling me. And God begin to tell us that you're fixing to meet somebody. And not even 5 minutes. Go on down the road, they'd be able to come in contact with another minister. Much more seasoned than I am in the Scriptures. Some people, Brother Tony perhaps, can quote the Bible and tell you all the Scripture. I can't do that. I've seen this brother the way the Lord works in him. I'm telling you what, I'm going to stop here and say that I am blessed to sit up with the church. It's been a blessing for us. We get on down the road and minister. I'm telling you what, if you've ever been a man that quote the Bible, that's him. He can take this Bible and tie it in and out. And see, I go to talk to this man. And everything the Lord had laid on my heart less than 5 minutes ago was the questions he had. And I'm telling you what, if God didn't lay it on my heart, I'd have been tired. I wouldn't know what to say. Just because you're in the message, don't mean you know how to answer all questions. If you think you do, then how to examine yourself. And because I was able to be sensitive to the Lord, saints of God, God was able to answer questions that I couldn't do. Talking about being led by the Spirit of God. Examine yourselves. Are you led by the Spirit? Are you able to be sensitive unto the Lord? And just give me 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20. I got a few more minutes. I will try to close here in this short one. Saints of God, we can be led by the Spirit of God. Well, if God can work in our lives, we can move in our lives. And just because God led me that time and I was able to talk to somebody, don't mean that just because God don't do that, you're not going to talk to somebody. Don't get that lopsided. Because a lot of times you're talking to somebody, you don't even know you're talking. A lot of times you'll be talking and you'll even feel like you made a complete fool of yourself. And you'll find months later down the road, God touched somebody's life.
That's right.
That's right. That's all. Sense of God, it's not important to me to be able to leave today and be able to say, you know what, I preached a good sermon. What is important to me that I can say to God's church? Because you know what? In the end, it's all that matters. God wants to work in your life. And again, it can be healings. It can be ministering to somebody else. But God wants to work in your life. But you know what? Sometimes we just got to be sensitive to the Lord. This is God's voice. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord. Father, I don't know exactly how I've gotten to the point where I am this morning, Lord. But Father, I ask you, Lord, that you'll deal with the hearts of your people, Father. Lord, as the enemy comes, Lord, God, he tries to cause us to feel bound, Lord. Lord Jesus, of thinking there's no way out, God. But Lord, it's during those times it's when you can come on the scene. Lord, I ask you that you'll bring such a love into our hearts, Lord, this morning. Father, that we can be led by your Spirit, Lord, that wives can be submissive to their husbands, and husbands will live a life worthy to where they can live submissive to them, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Well, Tim, sing me a song. I need more of you.
Salvation this morning. Father, I ask you these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
prepare to come to the end of this service. The saints of God, I want to leave you with this. If God cares about what you're going through, and the devil will make you think he don't, and he'll make you think you don't have a part to play in this life. I'm telling you what, you're just as important as Brother Tony, the one that maybe someone sees more than... I'm talking about the person standing behind the pulpit. You know, someone that you see more, you're just as important as they are. Amen? And Sister Bernadine, if it's okay with you, we're going to just ask the saints to pray for you. I want to ask the saints of God that throughout this week, remember our Sister Bernadine. Because you know what? When one of us suffers, we all suffer. Amen? Saints of God, that's when we'll be a stronger army, is whenever we start protecting one another. Don't ridicule. Don't tell them. I'm telling you, boy, let's stand together as a family, saints of God. And we'll conquer this devil. When my brother Tim fights a battle, brother, I want to be in the battle. Amen? I'm going to ask everyone, we're going to pray right now. Is be prepared to end service and give ask for the Tony to come. Let's pray for our sister. All together. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we all come together, Father, this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, our sister is a bold soldier, Lord, that continues to go forward, Father, in the gospel, Lord. And Lord, we're going to ask you that you will move on her behalf, Lord, on all these circumstances the devil tries to come upon her with, Father. And Lord, with her family, Lord Jesus, we know what they mean to her, O God. And Lord, I ask you to move on every heart, O God. And Lord Jesus, that you'll continue to bring perfect healing to her body, Lord, and her neck in the different battles that she fought, O God. Lord, we commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We believe with you, sister. We believe with you. And don't let that devil make you think you're fighting this battle alone. Amen. That's all.
Right. Satan's job to try and make you feel like that you're by yourself. Nobody else is going through your battle. Joe, the scripture said that the Lord, he suffered everything just like you would. So he knows what it's all about. He knows how to put the burden upon the saints. And so, just remember that. I also want to remember Sister Mary Cernico. She's also sick. Just remember her. Remember my daughter. Remember Sister Clara. As we go this week, just be in prayer for all of those situations. So many good things that Brother Daniel said. I'm not going to try and say much comments about it. Except I thank the Lord for what Brother gave to us this morning. And except I would say this, that to pray and be sensitive to the Lord. If we don't know how to lead ourselves, but we can just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and He knows how to speak to us and direct us. And if you have that working in your life, that He can keep you from anything and everything and lead you wherever He needs to and help you be that intercessory and everything else. If we don't even know how to pray, as Brother Benjamin said, the Spirit knows how. And so that's what we're here for. We are Christians. That means we live Christ's life, not ours. And that's our daily endeavor, is to die out to self so the Holy Ghost can live through us and do what He wants. Not what we want, but what He wants to do. And so that's it. And I appreciate what God has spoken this morning to us. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Brother Branham did refer to our canary brain. And there's probably 40 or 50 different topics that each topic in itself could just overwhelm our brain to think about. But Brother Daniel, we appreciate the Lord speaking through you this morning. And we just want to end the service in a good spirit. Let's sing 188, Down From His Glory. And take what the Lord's given you. Use it. Amen. It's still the battle for everybody. Down from the floor. Down.